Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion, it's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got you covered with comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting and confident looks you can count on. For over a decade, Mack Weldon has designed timeless, innovative menswear to help you move through the day with confidence. Not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made from the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace Collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code MACK25.
Hey y'all, welcome to another episode of Jesse's Fireside Chats. I know I haven't put out as much here recently because I've had an ear infection. Still do kind of have one, so we're just gonna try to muddle through it. Today's episode's probably gonna be kind of brief because I just want to kind of go over my thoughts on the Middle East with everything happening right now. And since foreign policy is not my main focus, I acknowledge that I'm not gonna say anything terribly groundbreaking here. Basically, yes, it's a good thing that the hostages are coming home. They should have a long time ago. Actually, they should have never been taken in the first place, obviously. It is even a good thing that the deceased ones are going home because at least their families can bury them and have closure. And so that's good. As far as American involvement, I think America should take this as their golden opportunity. We should take this as our golden opportunity to finally stop putting out everybody else's fires and focus on our own. Literal and metaphorical fires that we have back home. We need to stop sticking our toes in everybody else's pools. We need to stop trying to be the world's police force. We're a country, not a police force. Police are important, yes, but we were not meant to be the world's Andy Griffith, or the world's Superman, or whatever metaphor most resonates with you. We are a country, we have our own needs, we have our own problems. We are one of the largest countries in the world, both by area and population. And so with that comes challenges that that deserve our attention, our time, and our funding, and our other resources more than what's happening 5,000 miles away, or however far away the given country is that we're focused on right now. I guess that would be pretty accurate in terms of Ukraine, which is another thing. We should have never been involved in Ukraine in the first place. And I mean, obviously we haven't sent troops over there, but we've poured way too much money into it. We should have poured exactly $0 and 0 cents into it. Why? Because it ain't our war. We're not Ukrainian. We're not being invaded by Russia. They are. And yeah, Russia shouldn't do that, but guess what? We're not Russia's mom. We don't get to tell Russia what to do, because we're not Russia. So if Russia wants to go and invade Ukraine, I mean, that's sad, yeah, but that's not our fight. We don't have a dog in that fight. That is between Russia and Ukraine. And if any countries in the neighborhood want to help out, that's their own prerogative. Because it's their neighborhood. And every country also has agency and has its own interests and can decide what it wants to do. Which I know that some of the more interventionist types will say that, yeah, America also can decide what it wants to do. And I'm not saying that it can't. I'm not saying that America can't decide to go off and fight in every war with everyone and their father-in-law. Obviously, because if they couldn't, then you know, we wouldn't be having this discussion right now because America would have never done that in the first place. Obviously, they could. What I'm saying is they shouldn't. You can and you should not and cannot mean the same thing. You can hit yourself in the head with a bowling ball, but that doesn't mean you should hit yourself in the head with a bowling ball. You can stay up till 1 p.m. or 1 a.m., excuse me, playing video games when you have to get up at 4 a.m. to get ready for work, or you have to get up at 5 a.m. to get ready for school. Doesn't mean you should. You know, you can eat an entire bag of candy until you literally make yourself sick. Doesn't mean you should. Where am I going with all this? Well, not everything a country can do is what it should do. And just because the U.S. can, in theory, get involved with everyone and their brother-in-law's conflicts does not mean that it should. Why? Because the U.S. has its own problems, and the U.S. as a country and not as a private security force or a police force should focus on the problems that come with running a country instead of the problems that come with running a security force for hire by whatever country is currently in a conflict with any other country. Especially if those countries are always the ones we have no border with, we have no immediate dog in that fight, we have no immediate reason to be involved. Now, even if it was a country that we just so happen to share a border with, that wouldn't automatically mean we should get involved. We shouldn't necessarily, if Canada was being attacked for whatever reason, that doesn't necessarily mean we automatically should get involved. But you could make more of a case, potentially, this would still be a case-by-case issue, but you could still potentially make more of a case for getting involved in a war that is Canada versus, I don't know, China or some whatever country, rather than China versus Taiwan, or Russia versus Ukraine, or Israel versus whoever. Because in the case of Canada, we share a border with Canada. So if Canada loses to whoever is attacking them, which, again, unlikely scenario, but just bear with me, then whatever occupying power takes over Canada could easily at least threaten the U.S., especially if it is a big power like China. Now, that alone does not give me enough information to automatically say that I would support the U.S. intervening, or to what extent, or to for how long the U.S. should intervene, whether we should send guys over there or just money and weaponry. That scenario in and of itself does not give me enough information to make any of those judgments, but I'm just saying that you can make more of an argument to persuade me that the U.S. should help out in the event of a country that is immediately in our neighborhood than a country that is halfway across or entirely across the world from us. Because simple geography. And also, you know, the time and money and energy required to fly across the world or ship things across the world. The U.S. is already trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars in debt. Last I looked, it was over $36 trillion. We cannot afford, we simply literally cannot afford to be butting in to these conflicts that we have no immediate stake in. We simply can't afford it. I mean, that would be like if you as a parent were, let's say, $300,000 in debt. Why you're $300,000 in debt is not relevant right now, so I'm not going to make up a reason you're $300,000 in debt. What is relevant is, let's say you are $300,000 in debt, and yet you take 5 Disney vacations in 1 year. And let's say those vacations are not the reason you're $300,000 in debt. They just add more to your existing $300,000 debt. Or the money you use for those is the money that should have gone to pay off your debt, or probably both, to be honest. Actually, if I'm going to make a direct analogy to the U.S. here, it would be both. Because A, you're probably borrowing more money to support these conflicts and these interventions. And B, you're taking revenue that you are taking in that could go to paying down the debt, and instead using it to intervene in these other countries. So just like we would all laugh at best and cry at worst if you, as someone already in $300,000 of debt, decided to go on 5 Disney vacations in 1 year, and most of us would at least ask questions, if not outright assume that you are extremely irresponsible. It's a shame that more people aren't saying the same thing about the U.S. You can call, when it comes to interventions and conflicts and foreign policy in general, even foreign aid. Why are we bailing out Argentina? Why are we bailing out Africa? We don't live there. You can call me an isolationist or whatever you want. I don't care. What I'm saying is, we as a country have more debt, more problems that we need to be focusing on. We have children. I'm sick of hearing the children are starving in Ethiopia, which I know that's more used to guilt trip kids into eating their food. But whatever it is, we have kids starving right here in America, and yet y'all want to gripe about kids starving in Ethiopia. It's ridiculous. It's classic escapism. People don't want to focus on their own problems. Instead, they want to focus on things that are thousands of miles away. And it's dumb. And I'm tired of it. And it's been going on for decades. And I know this is a bit of a ranty episode, but these are my thoughts. Now, am I pro-Israel? Yes, in the sense that Israel is the land that God originally gave his original chosen people. So, in my heart, I do have a special kind of respect for it in that sense. But that does not necessarily mean that I think we should intervene militarily, monetarily, or in any other sense, in its actual affairs, because we don't live in Israel. And since it is, God's, it is one of the countries that God has created, whether original for his original people or not, all countries were created by God, and so God will provide for everybody. And so we should take that same attitude, whether it's Israel or Uganda or Kenya. That doesn't necessarily mean that people shouldn't be able to voluntarily give or go on missions or take up collections or whatever they want to do. But that does mean that we as a government should make our policy objectives based on supporting the actual needs of our own people and our own country, rather than trying to bail out everyone and their sister-in-law. We should not be participating in things like the International Monetary Fund or the UN or the WHO or whatever, because God made it clear in Deuteronomy that nations have borders, cultures have borders. So these global orders clearly go against that. These global organizations clearly go against that. And these interventions on behalf of these other countries by the U.S. are not much better, even if they're not explicitly part of some global organization. We should get rid of NATO. We should get rid of the UN. We should get rid of...
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
The IMF, we should get rid of all of these, because they clearly violate, if not the letter, at least the spirit of the warnings in Deuteronomy. And a big part of how we get rid of these things is if the U.S. pulls out of them, because I believe the U.S. is one of the biggest contributors to a lot of these organizations. So that's another thing. The U.S. shouldn't just pull out of foreign affairs to focus on the needs of its own country, of its own people, its own land, its own problems, because of practical reasons. You know, the fact that we're already in debt and we're a country of 300 plus million people and one of the largest countries by land area. Those are obviously important reasons, but also, the U.S. should pull away from all these foreign, not only foreign wars, but foreign organizations, to be more in accordance with the spirit of the warnings given in Deuteronomy against globalization. Because God did not intend for there to be a global government. God intends for there to be that a similar thing to that in heaven. But we are not in heaven. We are on earth. And on earth, we have nations that have borders and have their own affairs, their own cultures, and their own needs, and their own interests and agency. So we need to get back to this. We need to get back to, I know it's an old school notion, but we need to get back to this notion instead of trying to globalize everything, and especially on the part of the U.S., trying to intervene in everybody else's issues. So what I'm saying here is the U.S. should take the end of this Middle East conflict not only as, you know, a good sign because the hostages are coming home and this terrorist group has been, has had most of its power stripped from it. Hamas has lost most of its power and much of its leadership. The U.S. should not only, like, celebrate that as a good thing in general, because obviously, but the U.S. should also take this as a golden opportunity to finally exit from intervention in global conflicts. We should not send another dollar to Ukraine. We should not try to keep bailing out Argentina or any other country. We should say, okay, we're done. This is over. This is enough. We've intervened in enough foreign issues and enough foreign conflicts that do not concern us. This is enough. We're done. This is over. You are on your own. We'll send thoughts and prayers because those don't cost any money. In fact, that's what we are encouraged to do as Christians. We're encouraged to send thoughts and prayers. And as I said, if individuals and groups want to give to the people in these areas, there's nothing stopping that. It's just that countries should not throw resources meant for their own people and their own protection and their own needs and interests at conflicts and problems that have nothing to do with the country or the people who pay taxes to that country's government. It's immoral. It's not much better than embezzlement, actually. Because you are claiming to collect taxes against our will. You are essentially acting, as I've said in the past, like the guy who walks up to you, puts a gun to your head. You as a government are acting like that guy who then puts a gun to your head, demands that you hand over that gallon of milk. So then when you do, you're doing what most of us would do, but that's not generosity. So you as the government are essentially, you know, engaging in that coercion, taking money from us without consulting us, without telling us where it's going, but then claiming that the taxes you are collecting are being used to meet the needs of Americans, and yet you're shipping it overseas or you're using it to buy things that will go overseas. And that's not right. That would be actually not much better than embezzlement, because that would be like if an employee took an employer's funds that he was entrusted with, and instead of taking them to the bank or doing with them as the employer directed, instead took them all to some charity, like, say, the Salvation Army or Goodwill or the American Cancer Society or whatever, and said, hey, I have this $1 million donation. Come to find out, the money was actually supposed to go towards the needs of the business, and yet this employee donated to charity. Whether you agree with the motives of the charity he donated it to or not is irrelevant, because he literally embezzled from his employer. And that's what the U.S. does when they intervene in these foreign conflicts. The U.S. essentially embezzles because it takes money from the people, from the American people, and, you know, money that it claims is going towards meeting our needs, and instead ships it overseas. Actually, it's worse than embezzlement, because at least when it comes to an employer, a private employer, the people who do business with that employer are usually choosing to. It's usually a willing transaction. The employer is usually getting his money from people buying and selling his goods by choice, usually. But in the case of the government, people are not choosing to pay taxes. The taxes are literally taken from you, and if you don't pay them, you can go to jail. So it's actually worse than that. It's actually worse than embezzlement. So, to recap, my thoughts on the Middle East situation are that, yes, it's good that the hostages are coming home, both the living and the dead, because at least for the living, it's good that they're coming home. They can recover. They can hopefully live better lives than they have been living in captivity, and can spend time with their families and their friends and whatever else they want to do. With the dead, at least when they're coming home now, their families have closure. They can bury them. You know, it's sad that they're coming home deceased, but at least they are coming home with their families and not staying with their captors. And I'm sure most of y'all would agree with that. Nothing groundbreaking there. What I mainly wanted to focus on is that the U.S. should take what's going on in the Middle East and should use that as a golden opportunity, a great exit ramp to say, okay, we're finally officially done with intervening in foreign conflicts, because the U.S. should not be spending money and resources that are intended to meet the needs of the country and its own people in order to intervene in conflicts that we have no immediate interest in. The U.S. should not try to be everyone's Superman, because we are not a private security firm and we are not a global police force. We are a country, and in fact, we should withdraw not only from the business of intervening in foreign conflicts, but also from these global organizations such as the IMF, NATO, the UN, etc. Not only for financial reasons. The U.S. is in debt, like massive debt. We can't afford to be intervening in all these foreign initiatives, both militarily and monetarily. But also because the Bible in Deuteronomy warns against globalization. So we should not be intervening in all these and funding all these globalist initiatives and all these conflicts abroad, because it violates at least the spirit of those warnings against globalization and a global government. Heaven will bring everyone together. Yes, everyone, people from all over the world will go to heaven. But right now we are on Earth. And on Earth we have nations, we have borders, and we have cultures. And we should respect that. We should stop trying to make the world smaller. Because as I've said in a previous episode, I believe it was my episode covering my thoughts on the Iran situation. When the U.S. went in and bombed a bunch of nuclear facilities and stuff in Iran, I said on that episode, and I still believe, that we should stop trying to make the world smaller, because when you make the world smaller, you are distorting it. Because when you make something smaller and smaller and smaller, it distorts. That's why when a star dies and it gets smaller and smaller and smaller, it turns into a black hole. It becomes nothing like its original self, either in physical appearance or in function. Because unlike a star, a black hole swallows up anything that comes near it. Basically becomes a monster devouring whatever floats by. So if we keep trying to make the world smaller and smaller and smaller, we will eventually turn it into something much more destructive and much different, possibly in ways we couldn't even imagine, than it would be if we didn't try to artificially make it smaller. And I'm not talking about the physical sense here, I'm talking about geopolitically. If you want a more expanded take on that, you can listen to that episode where I talked about Iran and all that, because I did go into this particular theme of warnings against trying to unnecessarily make the world smaller for at least a minute or two in that episode. So thank you so much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed this episode or considered it to be food for thought. You can find this podcast on Spotify, Audible, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, the RSS feed, iHeartRadio, and Pandora. You can also contact us on our Facebook page at Jesse's Fireside Chats and on X at JFSCPod. You can also send me an email if you feel so inclined at jessiesfiresidechats@gmail.com. That's JESSEAS, firesidechats@gmail.com. If you want to be a guest, please reach out. I'd love to have some guests on here. Because for over a year now, it's just been me talking. And I'm sure some of y'all love that. But I, for one, would like to change it up a little bit. So if you want to be a guest, just reach out to me if you have a topic in mind, or if you don't. and we can figure out logistics and all that from there. And we have a coffee page, so no pressure, but if you'd like to support us with a small donation, we would really appreciate it. That's coffee, KOFI.com/Jesse's Fireside Chats. Thank you so much for listening to all this. Please pass this along to anybody you know that might be interested, and come back next time. Have a blessed day.
Indulge in holiday cravings with the nutrition you need from Kachava's All-in-One Whole Body Shake. It's 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. Try their newest flavors, like the limited edition chocolate mint. With Kachava, you're getting the highest quality ingredients. No fillers, no nonsense. Holiday nutrition has never been this easy or delicious. Go to Kachava, KACHAVA.com, and use code NEWS for 15% off.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.